हरे कृष्ण। इट इज वेरी नाइस टू बी बैक हियर इन सोवेटो आफ्टर अबाउट 12 years. The last time I was here, we sort of began the center in a very small room, which was part of the original house of Mahaprabhu Das and his family. And now we have such a big hall with nice deities and so many nice devotees. So it is very encouraging. This was the desire and prediction of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prati Vitaya Chaitato Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachor Hoive Marna. Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself in the guise of a devotee, made the statement in every town and village of every country of the world, my name, which means Krishna's name, will be preached and sung. So we are seeing this prediction come true, and it will continue to come true, because Lord Chaitanya is God, Krishna. Whatever he says will come to pass. Just like in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, not in the beginning, but in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna asks Arjuna to fight. I hope you know the story of the Bhagavad Gita. So, in the beginning, from the beginning, Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight. But Arjuna did not want to fight. He did not want to have to kill the opposing army, which included his own family. But Krishna showed Arjuna in his universal form that the opposing soldiers were already killed. They were already destined to be killed. So he told Arjuna that they will be killed in any case. But if you follow my instruction and fight, you will get the credit. But if you refuse to follow my instruction, people will think that you are a coward and they will defame you. But someone else will take up the work, because it is my desire and my instruction. And in any case, the soldiers on the other side will be killed. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya has predicted Prativiteya Chaitato Nagaradhika Sarvatra Prachor Hoi Vemarna, that in every town and village of every country in the world, my name will be preached. And it will happen. It is happening, and it will continue to happen. But if we take up the instruction, we will get the credit, and our lives will be glorious. So already, many of you have taken up the process, have become part of the effort to spread the holy name of Krishna, to distribute the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. But coming here after so long and seeing what growth has taken place, what development has taken place, I think back upon the first devotees who took up the order and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of them is sitting right here, Rupa Raghunath Das, and the other, of course, is Mahaprabhu Das. But as usual, he's busy with service, most likely in the area of the kitchen, or else he's hiding in the background. Oh, there he is.
There's a whole there's a whole room back
there. Is everyone in this room able to hear?
Good.
Okay. Well, we'll begin with Rupa Raghunath. We'll move the microphone to him. And Rupa Raghunath can tell us how he first got the idea to come to Soweto, to what was the African townships then, and eventually how Mahaprabhu Das came forward, and how Mahaprabhu Das also took up the cause. And then we'll ask Mahaprabhu Das, we'll get the same, some of the same story from two different angles of vision. We'll ask him to describe how he first met the devotees and how he became inspired to take up Krishna consciousness. So first, Rupa Raghunath Das, Hare Krishna.
So according to your instruction, Maharaj, Maharaj wants me to mention how we first got the idea to come to Soweto. Sometime in 1987, I was very fortunate that I was living in the temple in Mulder's Drift, and at the time, Mother Jita, who many of you know,
was doing a lot of Food for Life in Soweto, and I was very fortunate that I was invited to go with the devotees to go, well, with Mother Ajita, really. She was the driving force of the Food for Life at that time. And we came to a school in Soweto and we did Food for Life, and we were getting all of the students to chant Hare Krishna, and everybody was so enthusiastic. So I had read that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when you ask people, if you ask a group of people to chant Hare Krishna, that those who chant Hare Krishna, they were the best people. So I thought, these are the best people, they're all chanting Hare Krishna. So I was very inspired by that. Another devotee who was very instrumental in inspiring me to take up the African mission was a devotee by the name of Hari Kirtan Prabhu, who some of you may have heard his singing. He's got the most beautiful voice. He can sing like a Gandharva. And we were together downtown one time and we were doing some book distribution or some Harinam. And again, he was encouraging everybody. It was like downtown near the sort of taxi rank at the bottom of Bree Street. And he was encouraging everybody to chant, and you know, all of these African mamas, they were going for it, they were chanting. So I was like, wow, it's confirmed. These are the best people. So, like that as well, I was also quite revolutionary in my youth and very opposed to apartheid. And it was very painful to see how the African people were exploited by the apartheid system. And you know, wanting to do something to remedy that situation, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, by the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada had given us, I had the understanding that the best solution to everybody's suffering was to give them Krishna consciousness. So like that, I was inspired to try and spread Krishna consciousness, to try and preach Krishna consciousness in the African communities. So there was a devotee by the name of Temba, Bhakta Temba. Him and I wanted to come and preach in the African townships. So there were some devotees who kind of felt that it wasn't right that these young devotees should kind of be left on their own to just kind of go and start a mission. They felt that perhaps I should have been doing something else under somebody else's guidance. But His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was very supportive of the idea that we should go and preach in Soweto or amongst the African people. So really speaking, it's only by His mercy that an initiative was begun to come to the townships. And so myself and Temba probably used to come to this area, to Soweto, and try and distribute books and different things. And then it so happened that one day we were in Mulder's Drift, we had the Sunday program, and this wonderful young man came to the temple with his wife, and they had a little baby. His name was Ntiba. I think some of you know him as Nitai. So they came to Mulder's Drift, and when I met them, it was amazing. Wow, you live in Soweto. We'd like to maybe start a Namahata at your house. And the first time we came, we decided to do a cooking lesson. This is quite funny because one of the only things I could cook, I probably can't even cook it anymore, is cabbage and potato sabji. And Mahaprabhu Prabhu couldn't stand cabbage, but he didn't tell us that. So anyway, we cooked and then we did an offering, and then Mahaprabhu Prabhu ate it and he was amazed at how nice this cabbage tasted. So we did a cooking lesson, and then we decided that we asked him if we could have do a Namahata program in his house. And he said, yes, we could do that. And if I remember correctly, the first Namahata that we had, we actually brought Giriraj Maharaj to the program. And it was in this room over here with the lounge. And there were maybe five or six, maybe more, six, seven, eight people who'd kind of come from the area and they were interested to speak. Now this is one point that Mahaprabhu and I both differ on. I introduced Maharaj as one of the gurus in our society, or one of the leaders perhaps. I said that this is one of our leaders. But His Holiness asked me to speak instead. So I spoke, and then afterwards Mahaprabhu, this is where the difference comes in. He says that I didn't introduce Maharaj as a leader. And he just thought Maharaj was one of the other devotees. So actually that was really the beginning of preaching here in Meadowland. Was Giriraj Maharaj coming and we all came together. And so somehow like that we had the idea, we asked Mahaprabhu if we could maybe come and live with him and teach him the practices of Krishna consciousness. And he was very happy to do that. And anything that's going on today in Soweto is really due to the sincerity and the determination of Mahaprabhu Prabhu to carry on preaching Krishna consciousness. And so really all credit goes to him, and ultimately all credit goes to His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. By His mercy we could start here, and by his mercy it could all carry on, and of course by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and Gaur Nitai's mercy, by their desire, all of us are so fortunate that we can associate with like-minded persons, we can associate with each other who are all trying to be Krishna conscious, and we can at the same time try to encourage other people to take up the practice of Krishna consciousness. On Saturday we had such a nice gathering in Malaysia, and so many devotees spoke so nicely, but Nanda Kumar Prabhu spoke and really touched all of our hearts. And I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada, Nanda Kumar Prabhu was saying how Srila Prabhupada, it appears as though he was alone there in New York City when he began the movement. But actually he wasn't alone, he was carrying so much with him. And we are all so fortunate that all of those gifts that he was carrying are available to us, these wonderful tools to become Krishna conscious. We have all of these wonderful practices, the chanting of the holy name, worshipping of the deities, hearing Srila Prabhupada's books and discussing Srila Prabhupada's books together, wonderful prasadam, all of these wonderful practices that we have that we can become more and more Krishna conscious if we apply ourselves to the process more and more. So we are all very, very fortunate by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Gaur Nitai. So I think I can end there, and we can ask Mahaprabhu Prabhu to speak. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jayam Jai Vijay Gauranga ki, Jagannath Paradev Subhadra ji ki, Jai Gopendranji.
Майдянатим рангасия кенайяна хасавакая чакшу нитимбена тасмай шри гурубе нама свитетяня манависням страпитям милена бутеле своям рупакадама ям тарати сапарантика. Хе Кришна Каруна Синди Дина Банди Жагатпати Копи Шакутика Кантара Раканта Намустити. Татта Канчана Гауранги Раде Бринда Агнишари Вашабана Сути Деви Пранамами Алифрия. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. as Rupa was speaking, I was thinking, what am I going to say? I guess Rupa has said quite a lot. And I remember before I joined, you know, being born in Soweto. And I've been through the Soweto uprising, and then also during the Nicholson period, those who know the period in Soweto. It was really tough. And somehow or the other, I had a lot of unanswered questions in my mind, you know, thinking of what is the solution to all this. There should be a solution. And somehow or the other, I was born as a Christian, and, you know, somehow or the other, they didn't have the answers to my questions. And then I remember I moved from one religion to another. I became a Muslim. And from a Muslim, I became a Buddhist. And after that, I became an atheist, to say, you know, because I thought after that, you know, that there's no answer to all this, you know, so many religions. And I remember one time I was walking downtown, and I went into one shop. And this shop, it was here in Fortsberg. It was one of the Hindu shops. Like, I went inside, and as I was inside, there was no one in the what you call in the reception. And so I was saying, is there anybody out there who can help me? Nobody. So suddenly, one elderly gentleman appeared from the behind the curtains and said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Oh, I mean, I've been here for the last 20 minutes or so. Don't you think I could have stolen something from the shops here?" And he said, "Well, everything depends from the one above." And I thought, oh, another religion. And anyway, we started having a conversation. And he told me that, you know, you do good in the Hare Krishna movement. You've got a lot of questions. And I said, oh my God. So somehow or the other, you know, after discussing with him a little bit, I went out. And then I remember walking down this, what you call a small street, and I saw one devotee. That was Temba, that was the first devotee I met in Krishna consciousness, and he was selling some books. And but he was wearing, like, you know, devotional clothes. And I was wondering, what is he saying to everybody? And they were buying the books and then going away happy, and I was thinking, wow, what's happening? And then somewhere there he stopped me, and then he gave me one book, Science of Self-Realization. He said, this is one and only book. You know, you should read it. And then I took the book, I looked at the back, and I said, Sense of Self-Realization. I said, well, I mean, thank you very much, not for me. And then I went out, and I said, no, I will come back, I'll buy the book, just keep it with you. He said, no, this is the only book, I'll keep it for you. So I went down, and then I was window shopping everywhere, and then 2 hours later, I thought, you know, that idea came back to my mind, and I thought, oh, by the way, that gentleman. So I said, my mind told me that, you know, why are you judging a book by its cover? I mean, you have read so many books. So, I mean, this is one of the books. After all, you know, just read it. You don't know what's in the book. So I went there. And fortunately, he was still there. And then he gave me the book. I gave him a donation. So I came back, and I was in a taxi. I remember, because that time I was practically doing everything. I was smoking. I was drinking. I was doing it. Of course, I was trying to stop these things, but it was very difficult. You know, I remember stopping smoking for about 6 months, and I went back again, and then for 3 months, come back again. And so I took this book, and I just opened it roughly in the middle, and Srila Prabhupada was talking about the regulative principles, you know, and you know, just for 20 minutes from town, I resolved in my heart that no more smoking, no more drinking, and I came back home here, and I told my wife, Malini, and she was smiling. Actually laughing at me, like, you know what, you were a vegetarian, no smoking, you're joking. So they laughed at me, and then so I read the book, and it was very interesting. It was on a Saturday, I remember, and I spent a sleepless night, and I finished the book. So the on Monday, I dodged from work, trying to find more books, hoping that I'll find the devotee. I couldn't find the devotee. So I met another devotee again, that was Mother Kunti, and I bought Bhagavad Gita. And I was convinced, and she gave me the direction that I should come to Yeovil. I went to Yeovil for the first time, and then there were not so many devotees, and I bought more books. I think I got again Krishna, They put Krishna, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that was a spec book that I got. And then I read the books. I used to buy more books, just leave them at home here. And then Malini, one time I came from work, and then she said, "Oh, I'm a vegetarian also." I said, "Oh, who said in the last laugh?" You know, and so I said, "Okay, let's go and visit the temple." She agreed. We went and visited the temple, and then I remember I met some devotees, and then they told me that they are going to have the next Saturday, they're going to have a program in one of the halls here. And then that's where I met, like, Nanda Kumar was there, Prabhu, and then Medavi, and then Arikata Prabhu, so many devotees were there. And yes, and I started joining the movement. And that's when I took Krishna consciousness very seriously. And I remember Rupa earlier on was saying that, basically the credit goes to me. Actually, I wouldn't say that. Without these devotees, they helped me, Rupa Raghunath, and then another devotee who's not here, also Mara Vishaka, I thought she would come. Yeah. She is also one of the devotees that initially helped me in my Krishna consciousness. And I would say the credit goes to them. You know, I mean, this is the program they started, and I'm still trying up to now to maintain it, even though I'm making a mess out of it. But so that's how I joined Krishna consciousness, and I became a devotee under their able guidance. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.
There's more. You have to bring us up to where we are now. He was the beginning. You were continuing from there. Now you have to bring us to where we are now.
I remember the first program, when we had the first program there, my Guru Maharaj was there as well. And I remember Rupa said earlier on that, you know, when he introduced Guru Maharaj, he didn't say this is one of the leaders. I really don't remember that. I don't remember that, you know. But it's very amazing that we had a program. I think it was on Tuesday, right?
Was it then a week?
Just during the week. I think it was on Tuesday. And the next Sunday, you know, but of course I could tell that, of course, Guru Maharaj was very senior, and he was one of, but yeah, I mean, I was reading the books, and they were talking about the gurus, and I didn't know, I was still confused. And I remember going to Baptist Drift and on Sunday, and when we arrived there, and then I saw Guru Maharaj coming out, you know, but when Guru Maharaj first came to Soweto, we didn't have a dhana, you know. But when in Mother's Drift I met him again for the second time, every time, and I saw all the devotees falling down like a stick, you know. And I was standing there alone looking at all the devotees around, you know. And I asked him, I said, "Can I do the same?" He said, "Yes, do the same in there." Like a stick. And I asked Rupa later on, and then Rupa told me that yes, he's initiating spiritual master. And I thought to myself that if I have to take spiritual life very seriously, and definitely he will be my Guru Maharaj, and fortunately he accepted me, you know. And so over the years, you know, there are many devotees who play the role in Soweto, you know. And you know, one of them also is Maharaj Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, and he's still like inspiring us. He's coming regularly here. Whenever he's on Gauteng, he also comes around, you know. And quite a lot of devotees again, senior, like Indrajuguna Maharaj, Bhakti Pringa Govinda Swami, Kanama Kanana Maharaj, quite a lot of them actually. You know, they're coming regularly around. And then actually this small room that you see around, it was the money was given by Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. So he's the one who gave this money to build this small room here. And so everything is still continuing by their mercy. I'm still around in ISKCON because of their mercy. And then I hope that they look favorable towards me, all of them. Thank you very much. I'm afraid I don't know if you want me to still say something, but...
It's all right. I'll just say...
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, on Saturday, Saturday and Sunday, we went to Malaysia for the festival. And on the way, I was looking at the billboards. And I saw there was an advertisement for beer. And they used the word perfect. Each drop is perfect. So it struck me a little bit, each drop is perfect. Then a little further, there was an advertisement for another liquor. It said something like, you know, perfection. Oh my God, what is this? You know, it's like, what's going on? Then, a little further, there is another advertisement. Probably, I think it was for some other alcoholic beverage. And it used the phrase something like awe and grandeur. And then it clicked on me that these people are very religious, and these cunning advertisers are appealing to their religious sentiments and trying to redirect their religious sentiments for God towards these material things that they want to sell. And then there was another ad, a billboard. This one, it had a woman, like very sort of, I guess, supposed to be slender and beautiful. Like in India, you would see like Goddess Lakshmi or something. And then, sort of like kneeling in a very prayerful mood, like on each side towards two men, sort of like worshiping her. And I think that one was advertising either suntan lotion or some sort of cosmetic cream, I'm not even sure. And there they are, they're worshiping, but it's like this woman wearing, you know, using this product. And I was thinking, you know, these advertisers are so clever. They know that the people are religious, but they want to shift their mood of worship from worshiping God, you know, to worshiping a woman, you know, who uses such and such suntan lotion. And I thought, this is actually very sad, because these big companies, they have huge budgets, and they have very intelligent people working on like manipulating the minds and sentiments of the people. And I thought of India. India is similar. People are very religious. But after independence, the political leaders, they wanted to direct the energy of the people towards economic development instead of religion. So, like, they coined the phrase, work is worship. Like, because the Indians like to worship. So they, but they, the leaders wanted them to work. So they said, work is worship. And the factories are the temples of today. And, you know, it was really sort of sad. And then Srila Prabhupada said that the Indians had thrown out the British because they didn't want to be cheated by the British. And then they went to America to get cheated by the Americans. So I was thinking, I mean, I must say that I don't think I've ever been happier that apartheid was finished than I was when I came here. Because the whole atmosphere is just so much nicer, I mean, it's just the way it should be. But still, seeing these billboards, I had that same thought, what Prabhupada said, that, you know, they drove out the British because they didn't want to be exploited by the British, now they're going to America to be exploited by the Americans. So I was thinking, okay, well, we threw out the apartheid rule, so we didn't want to be exploited by them, which was correct. I mean, we shouldn't be exploited by them. But that effort to exploit the people is still there, but it's in a more subtle way. You know, it's not by laws and heavy police, but it's by more subtle methods, this very clever advertising and putting ideas in people's minds in subtle ways and basically exploiting them. So I was really concerned that we should be aware of this subtle exploitation in which, you know, the advertisers, big business, or whoever, try to direct our energy away from God towards material things. That we don't give our time and energy and money for worshiping God, but we use our money to buy beer or whatever those things or liquor and things, you know, for the body to look beautiful and attractive to the opposite sex. It's really what it comes to. So we really have to take very seriously the process of Krishna consciousness, especially the chanting of the holy names, which you do so beautifully. I must say, what is your name? That was such a beautiful kirtan with the other devotees chanting, and Rupa's also. That's really beautiful kirtan. I mean, if somebody wants beauty and happiness, they don't have to go any further than that. That is just so beautiful, so sweet. So the chanting of the holy name and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, to remind us that we're not the body, we're the soul within the body. And the soul cannot really get pleasure from material things, because the soul is spiritual. The soul can only get pleasure from spiritual things. And basically from its relationship with the Supreme Soul, with Krishna. So all this advertising, economic development, sense gratification, it's all based on the body. And it tends to reinforce the idea that you're the body. So the chanting, of course, that will raise us above the bodily platform. And then reading the books, hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that's important to remind us we're not the body. We're the soul within the body. Our real relationship isn't with the body or material things. Our real relationship is with the Supreme Soul, and spiritual substance. And, of course, associating with devotees. It's natural. It is said, birds of a feather flock together. Have you heard that saying? Birds of a feather flock together. Sometimes we walk at Zoo Lake and we see it. There's so many different types of birds. They float on the water, they fly like ducks and geese, so many different varieties. But the different groups stay together. The geese stay together, this type of duck stays with the same kind, and the other type of duck stays with the same kind. So it's natural that devotees will stay with devotees. And that association will protect us, because the materialists, they want to, Maya wants us to serve Maya. But the devotees, they want us to serve Krishna. And that is what will make us happy and satisfied. And the deity, so nice to see Gorni Thai and Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. On Saturday, we observe Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day. He was the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. And he resided for... He spent a lot of time in Jagannath Puri, and he said something to the effect that our mission will be successful when there's Rath Yatra in Eastbourne, London. I didn't even know how he knew about Eastbourne. I never even heard of it until I read his statement. I think that this is our Acharya's desire, and I'm very happy to know that there's Rath Yatra in Soweto. Rath Yatra is a wonderful festival. I remember in the early days we thought that Lord Jagannath would be... He's very merciful, and then you have like the picture of integration, because Jagannath is black and Balaram is white, Subhadra is
hello. But they're all together, and they all love each other, and they all want to unite everyone in Krishna consciousness. So I think, I'm not quite sure that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, and the whole disciplic succession, are very happy that we have this center in Soweto and that we are celebrating Jagannath Rath Yatra in Soweto. I think yesterday we went to Zuhu Lake, and we had just reached the side of the lake, and there was an African gentleman there who greeted us. I was the first one he saw, sort of nicely dressed, nice slacks, pants, and shirt. So he said, "Are you Hare Krishna?" I said, "Yes." "How do you know?" He said, "Well, I've seen you people in other places, and I love your song, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare." And he said, and you people are very generous. You invite everyone to come and share your food with them. They're very generous people. And you teach people to love their brothers." So he said, you know, any religion that doesn't teach you to love your brothers and be peaceful is just like bunk, something like that, he says. and he said, "But you people, you teach love and you teach peace, you teach people to love their brothers. I really love you people." "Well, we love you too." And we went on our walk. So this is real. This is really brotherly love. And it comes, of course, when we love the Supreme Father, God or Krishna, and we see all souls are children of the Supreme Father, and they're our brothers, so we have to love them and care for them and help them. That is our mission. I thought that man at the lake expressed it very well. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ki Jai Gaur Premanande.